Fini. This is the last part of the challenge series, which is comprised of en garde, touché, plié, enchanté, soirée, and fini, or fini, however, rhyme in time. We thank you for joining me. This is fini, which means the end. This is going to be the final finishing of how the Lord is going to deal with the summing up of all things, what the condition is going to look like through a variety of scriptures. Hold everything lightly, hold Jesus tightly. Here we go. We're going to talk about the end, the stop, the stopping point for all of as the world continues, the omega point, the end, some end. We are still in a linear world. Time has a beginning and an ending. We have a beginning and an ending. The world had a beginning and an ending, and this means that God, who is not a line, he's more cyclical, is an eternal. The circle never ends. That represents the Lord eternal in his eternity. I'm going to talk about the end of all things. The cycles of the earth, the cycles of time, will come to an end. It seems that we are coming into the summation of that end. Let's hear what the Lord says prophetically to Ezekiel in chapter 7. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "And you, son of man," says the Lord God to the land of Israel, "an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you. And I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways. And I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity. But I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." The Lord is going to do this to declare who he is, and he is the sovereign. Verse 5, thus says the Lord God. A disaster, a singular disaster. Behold, it has come. And end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. And you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. Behold the day, behold it has come. Doom has come, has gone out. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded, violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, none of their multitude, none of them, nor shall there be wailing for them. The time has come. The day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their whole multitude. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive. For the vision concerns the whole multitude, and it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. For my wrath is on all their multitude. The sword is outside in the pestilence and famine within. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever is in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. Those who survive will escape and be on the mountains like the doves of the valleys, all of their mourning, all of them mourning, mourning each for his own iniquity. Every hand will be feeble, and every knee will be as weak as water. They will also be girded with sackcloth. Horror will cover them. Shame will be on every face, baldness on all their heads. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their souls nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornaments, he set it in majesty, but they made from it the images of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore I have made it like refuse to them. I will give it as plunder into the hands of strangers, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they shall defile it. I will turn my face from them, and they will defile my secret place. For robbers shall enter it and defile it. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. Therefore I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses. I will cause the pomp of their strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest and counsel from the elders. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way. According to what they deserve, I will judge them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. According to what they deserve, the Lord brings his perfect judgment, not one hairline more or less. And the hour of judgment is upon the earth and the nations of the earth. And there it will be an expected end and a finish to all these nations and kings who rise up against the Lord, and they will know that he is God. Let's look at Nahum. Nahum was prophesying in Nahum 1 against the Nineveh. And although Nineveh repented, I do not think, although it's my prayerful desire that there would be national repentance, I do not believe, according to the scriptures, the way they play out and the judgments roll out, that national repentance will come about. I do believe that there will be individual, God will call the nations to naught, the council of the nations to naught, and he deals with each man individually according to his heart. I do not believe that the nations, their national repentance will happen on the earth now. The nations are conspiring against his Holy One on his holy mountain, Yeshua the King. But individuals will still repent, one here, one there, and a remnant still will come out and prepare herself and make herself ready for the coming of the bridegroom. God is jealous, and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the flower of Lebanon wilts. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt, and the earth heaves at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of its place. Now we know the Lord's not going to destroy the earth with flood at the last destruction. The end of it, it will be with fire. And darkness will pursue his enemies. What? Do you conspire against the Lord? He will make an utter end of it. Affliction will not arise a second time. For while tangled like thorns, and while drunken like drunkards, they shall be devoured like stubble fully dried. From you comes forth one who plots evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are safe, and likewise many, yet in this manner they will be cut down when he passes through. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. For now I will break off his yoke from you and burst your bonds apart. The Lord has given a command concerning you. Your name shall be perpetuated no longer out of the house of your gods. I will cut off the carved image and the molded image. I will dig your grave, for you are vile. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O you to keep your appointed feasts, perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Now, I believe that this can be the application of the very end of the age, the end of this time constraint, where the Lord will bind up Satan and cast him back into the furnace. But right now, he is rampaging. So what does this mean for the people of God? Who are those who are going to still be proclaiming the good news on the mountains? Who are those that are going to be fleet? Who are those that are going to be in this place called Fini, when things are finished, when they're done, when they've stopped, it will no more continue? The wicked ones. God hates the wicked. Matthew 10:1. Jesus was talking about when you, his disciples, those who follow him, enter a city or town, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, okay, whoever does not receive you when you're preaching the good news, okay, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. When they do not hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, the Lord continues, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you would speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not, I do not understand that phrase. I really don't, I must say. But this pattern of persecution and preaching the gospel is an ongoing pattern through the centuries and will continue. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? In other words, they'll falsely accuse you. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, you shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. The Lord here defines the walk of a disciple who is called to testify and be a witness to Jesus Christ. This is the definition of it. It is not flying around in Learjets and staying at mega expensive hotels and fleecing the poor in Africa to pay your way. Matthew 13, in fact, most true disciples and prophets are not received in the West because another gospel is being preached. Let's look at Matthew 13, 37. He talks about the end days here and what the condition of the earth will be like in this parable. He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the son of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end shall come." Matthew 24:9. Matthew 28:8. "And Jesus spoke to them and said, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. The Lord will be with us all. He always, to the end of the age, he will not leave or forsake us. "But watch out for yourselves. They will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. When they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand, or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, you speak it, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this is Mark 13:10-9. And so we realize this is a repetitive theme. You're going to be persecuted. There's going to be division, even within families. You have to love God better than anyone else in your family and take up your cross and follow him. And you must listen and obey, that he desires obedience and not sacrifice. This gospel of sin and salvation in Hebrews 6:9-26, it said he would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared, Yeshua has, that is, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So there are two appearances. There's a second time where Christ is going to appear. The first time, he bore the sins of many. He saved us from our sin. He came as Savior. The next time, our Savior from our sins. The next time, he is coming for our salvation. Stand and see your salvation. When you see all these signs coming, Jesus said in Matthew 24, stand, because you know the coming of the Lord is at hand, is at the door, is at the door, is at the door. 1 Peter 1, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1, 9. So sin and salvation, there's a two-part appearing of the Lord. Of this salvation, to the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ and the glories that would, the Spirit of Christ who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look in. This is 1 Peter 1:8. Okay, so this salvation and this Spirit of God, that God came to take our sins, bear our sins, and the next time he is coming for our salvation. He is. Who is this Yeshua? The sin bearer. He's the Alpha and the Omega, it says in Revelation 1:8. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. And to those of us who live in this age, we are to overcome, Revelation 2:25, hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end. We have to keep and endure until the end. To him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, as I have also received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches in Revelation 21:7. And he said to me, it is done. It's finished. The Lord finished it. He's done the work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Very clear. We shall inherit all things. We shall rule with him because we are his children and we love him. And behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, Revelation 22, 12. So the Lord clearly states in Revelation, he is the lamb slain from the foundation. The book of Revelation is the unveiling of his judgment on the wicked, and that each man will shall be taken into to everyone according to his work. They will be given their rewards. It says in Ezekiel and Habakkuk, to the wicked, they will receive the reward for their work. And to the righteous, they will receive from the Lord the reward for their works. To him endures to the end and overcomes. Fini. That's the end. That's the culmination, the end summation of the whole issue, the whole book, the purpose and destiny of your life. May God richly bless you. May you be challenged and exhorted to endure, and that your Lord be with you always. I am with you always, lo, even until the end of the ages. God.